Hello, everyone. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Rebecca F., as in fellowship, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2022, and this is our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in Chapter 2, There is a Solution, on page 22. We will be reading and commenting on the first and second paragraphs on page 22, which begin with, "This is by no means a comprehensive picture," and ends with, "He still sometimes displays with respect to other matters." Today's readers are Adrian N., Naomi G.B., Loretta H., Bonnie B., and Judith S.P. The share ID numbers for yesterday, Monday, August 15th, 2022, are 19,925 for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. That's 19925, and 19,926 for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. That's 19926. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Adrian N. to read the OA 12 steps.
Thank you. Adrian N. in Florida. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand them. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Adrian N. from Florida. I will now ask Naomi G.B. to read the OA 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered in Ontario, Canada. My name is Naomi G.B. the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffered. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. Pardon me. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Naomi GB from Ontario. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we will be reading and commenting on the first two paragraphs on page 22. This is by no means a comprehensive picture through. He still sometimes displays with respect to other matters. I will now ask Loretta H. to go ahead and read that for us.
Good morning, Rebecca, and everybody on this meeting, along with my precious God who saves my life every single day. And for today, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. This is by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. Why does he behave like this? If hundreds of experiences have shown that one drink means another debacle, with all its attendant suffering and humiliation, why is it that he takes one drink? Why can't he stay on the water wagon? What has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other manners? Oh my God, those whys. I tried to understand the why, and today I need to understand the how. The only thing I need to understand is that the only thing I know is that I don't know the set aside prayer and that I am a compulsive overeater. and anorexic also. And I just have to know that so I can get to the solution of how to understand this debacle that I have, the squirreliness. Somebody just shared this morning, squirreliness comes from nut, or I felt nuts, and nuts not using the step. So I know that this is where I need to be. And it talks about common sense. And on page 13, my sponsor used to always point this out. Common sense would become uncommon sense. So I looked up the word common sense. So it's good sense and sound judgment. Now I looked up uncommon sense, and I thought that was like being stupid, but it isn't. Uncommon sense is what we use to look at life and its challenges and keep laughing, sharing, and thinking creatively. And I think it's keep on thinking with God's corrective directives. And so in this surrender, seriously understanding real recovery entails not debating any reason. I can actually stop the debating society and stop my brain from actually getting so full of my ideas and my willpower and all that stuff, and actually clean it out and have it free so that I can absorb this more important part of my disease, which is how do I recover on a daily basis. And I am so lucky today because these steps are a design for living. They're the magic carpet ride that actually has a treasure map at the end of it. And my God, the work and you are my way out. And I am so grateful because today common sense becomes uncommon sense. And I actually have something that I've never had, and that is I know I'm a compulsive overeater, and I know with God's grace and mercy how to get out of that for today. And I do this every day. Don't let me kid you. I am nuts not using the steps when I wake up in the morning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Now, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on A Vision for You this past Friday or Monday and would like to share on the first two paragraphs on page 22, this is by no means a comprehensive picture through "He Still Sometimes Displays With Respect to Other Matters," please press star 1 to unmute and state your first name and last initial.
Larry G.
Katie G. from Boston.
Lee H.
Rena L.
Okay, here's who I wrote down. Larry, I didn't get the last initial. Katie, I didn't get the last initial. Lynn H. and Rena L. Anyone else?
Darlene H.
Darlene Nate. Okay, we've got our list to get started. Larry, Katie, Lynn, Rena, and Darlene. Larry, go right ahead. Well, I think it was Larry, but we don't hear you.
Good morning, moderator and family. This is Larry G. from California. When the reader was going over this paragraph, I was just laughing at myself because, oh my God, I asked that question why every time I had relapsed. Well, I was in relapse. I just didn't know it. And, oh my God, I spent so much time asking myself the question why, and forgetting the pain and humiliation of a binge a day before, a week ago, and spending more time asking the question why than getting on my knees and begging God to remove the obsession. And there's a great line later on in the big book, and it says that when asked this man and woman about this last debacle, that person could not answer that question. And Bill W. writes that was probably the most truthful thing that that person ever said, because if my lips were moving, I was lying to myself and others. I was beyond human aid and could not sufficiently manufacture surrender on my own. And that's what needed. And today, as the reader said, I spend my time not asking a question why. And I got to be careful about that, because when I ask the question why and I start talking to myself, that is a mental illness, right? And so I spend my time today in recovery, practicing recovery the best I can. Some days better than others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Katie.
Good morning, Rebecca F. This is Katie G., anorexic, bulimic, compulsive eater in Boston. Good morning, everyone. What a great paragraph. You know, why means the reason, right? So why am I behaving this way? Why am I getting on the scale every single day and trying to get my value and worth from the scale? Why am I trying to fix, manage, and control my life with my food and my body weight? And when I'm looking for that answer, you know, a couple things. One, I have to, if I answer the why question, like, I have to acknowledge that maybe my behavior is insane, right? Like, why would a normal mom put exercise and my body weight before her children? Like, how sad, how devastatingly sad. And secondarily, like, more importantly, if I'm asking why, I'm looking for a fight. I'm like, all right, OA, you want to know why? Because my mom, because my brother, because my father, because my uncle, because you, because everybody else, right? Like, if I'm asking why, I'm not looking to take responsibility for myself. I'm not looking to take any action or whatever. I'm just looking to blame you. Like, how dare you? How could I not do this? And what's so sad about when I'm stuck in the why is that I'm unteachable, right? Like, my pride is up. Like, I'm puffing myself up. I'm trying to become bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm, you know, defending myself. And you know what else when I'm in why? I'm eternal victim. I'm an eternal victim. And sometimes I get confused because I hear different things like, you know, well, this is what happened to me, right? Or this happened to me growing up. And I have so much compassion because we all suffer the pains of growing up. But the most important reason for me as to why I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive eater is because I'm an anorexic, bulimic, compulsive eater, because I have an abnormal reaction to food, ingredients, behaviors, right? Because I'm that distinct entity, because I'm not normal. The delusion that I'm like normal people has to be smashed. Otherwise, if there was a reason, wouldn't my brother be the same? You know, and I have an abnormal mind that tells me I have to fix, manage, and control my whole life. You know, so today it's like, why not? Thanks be to God, why not? Thanks be to God, I have a devastating illness, and I'll wrap up with this, where there is a solution, and guess what? Solution is God. Why the heck not? Praise God.
Thanks, Katie G. from Boston. Lynn H.
Good morning. This is Lee H. Spelled Lee with two E's. I believe that's me instead of Lynn. I'm from Tennessee, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And What struck me this morning in the reading was that paragraph that talks about, as our behavior patterns vary, but this description should identify him roughly. In this big book, they're talking about the alcoholic, and they go to painstaking effort to describe the different types of alcoholics. And with OA and with my food compulsion and my disease, for me, it seems like there are just so many more issues. So it's more complicated. Or at least it was for me when I first came into the program, because I had a hard time identifying completely, and it took several sponsors just rereading these chapters together and sharing each other's stories and hearing what my sponsor had to say about her disease, and then listening to all of the shares every day helped me to see that I have this disease and I am powerless over it, and I needed to work these steps in order to get better. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, my higher power is the one that I had to really get truthful with, honest with, about the food, that I can't really compare myself to what other people's disease is and hear about their food. I have to really be convicted in my heart with my higher power. What is my disease? What am I allergic to? And what are my behaviors? And when I get in my brain, when I start stirring around about a particular food, as someone told me, they said, Lee, just put it down. Just put it down. And it was such a simple directive, but it helped me so much. So I'm glad to be here this morning and to hear everybody on the line. Thanks, moderator.
Thank you, Lee H. from Tennessee. Rena L.
Hi, this is Rena, Rena L., compulsive overeater and anorexic from Toledo, Ohio. Good morning, everyone. I've been coming to Vision for quite a while, but this is my first time. I've introduced, but I've never, ever spoken to make a comment, so it took a lot of gearing up to do it, committed to my sponsor beforehand to do it. So here I am. And I certainly relate to this paragraph, the two paragraphs we've read. And I was thinking about how when I've been back in the disease and in relapse, I feel like I'm in a boxing ring with the disease. And it's all the whys, like, why this, why this, why can I not? Just boxing ring. And the only time I start to approach recovery at all is when I feel like I throw down the gloves and I like walk out of the boxing ring of why, you know? And I just, when I think of myself in the disease, I picture myself like at 3 a.m. after shoveling food and so much pain, you know, wondering why in every other area of my life, my outworking everyone gets me what I want, and how the more I outwork, the more I push and ask why, like the deeper I'm in the disease. It's like does the opposite. And the last thing, I guess, is that to me, it's still funny in the saddest way how long I spent asking why, when my first word in my baby book, like it says, my first word wasn't mom, wasn't dad, it was cookie. And my first sentence was, I want a cookie. So the hilarity of me trying to look at why this, why am I, you know, I came this way, here I am. And I'm grateful for today to know that. So, I think that's it. Thanks.
Thank you, Rena L. from Toledo, Ohio. Darlene H.
Hi, good morning. Darlene H. recovered in Georgia. Recovered compulsive overeater. I think what stands out to me in this reading is hundreds of experiences have shown him that one drink means another debacle with all its attendant suffering and humiliation. God, it almost breaks my heart. How many times was I humiliated by my body, humiliated by actions, the way that other people treated me, whatever. You know, like there were plenty of humiliations. And instead of kind of looking at that and looking at why is this happening, I was a victim. And then how did I deal with it? With more food. Just, it's so heartbreaking to me to think about that. Like, why do you do it? The why today, it's clear. I have some alcoholic foods I can't touch. Otherwise, why am I like this? Doesn't matter. I just am. At this point, I could drive myself crazy trying to figure it out. excuse me. So today, oh, it's okay. I don't need to figure it out. The other thing is all the whys of how come I'm successful here? How come I can do this? How come I could do that? While I was in the disease, I'll just put it that way, the lie I told myself was, yes, I was successful. The lie I was telling myself was, yes, everything's great in every other part of my life. But the truth is, on the recovered side, I can see how much more I had to grow, how much more I had to offer, how much better life could be. Like, I was settling before. But I just didn't have any power whatsoever. I didn't have any tools whatsoever. I didn't know how to do life. I had to wait for that moment of grace. And trust me, it's happened more than once over the years that I've had to have some grace by God where I can jump through the door and say I'm willing because I'm powerless. Once I gave up that power, I no longer have to ask why. I'm so grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Darlene H. from Georgia. Well, if you haven't shared on A Vision for You this past Friday or Monday and would like to share on the first two paragraphs on page 22 in the Big Book of AA, this is by no means a comprehensive picture through He Still Sometimes Displays with Respect to Other Matters. Please press star 1 to unmute and state your first name and last initial.
Karen S. Jana C.
Karen S. Jana C.
Jana
C.
Yep, Amy G.
Okay, Amy G.
John B.
I heard the B, but could you say your first name again?
John.
Is it John, J-O-H-N?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Sue L.
Is it Sue L? You're hard
Sandy
to hear.
K.
Sandy K. Anybody else want to get in line?
Kathy S.
Did Kathy you hear S. Mary M?
I didn't. Mary M?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Mary M. Hopefully we'll have time to squeeze everybody in. We've got Karen S., Jana C., Amy G., John B., Sue L., Sandy K., Kathy S., and Mary M. Karen S., go right ahead.
I'm Karen S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Ohio. What the question that stands out to me in this passage is, why can't they stay on the water wagon? It's a hard question for me as a compulsive overeater. Why I pick up the sugar? I was in the hospital this past weekend. And on the menu, they offered sugary Italian ice. And I'd been abstinent for 11 days, and I'd been doing very good. But just the fact that I could have it, I picked it up. And I asked myself, why? Why did I do that? Why can't I stay on the water wagon? And, you know, I blame my emotions a lot. I say I was afraid because I was in the hospital with an infection. And but the truth is I'm a compulsive overeater. That's why I picked up. because I can't stay away from sugar, and I need my higher power to give me strength. And I didn't turn to him while I was in there, and that's when I needed him the most. That's just what stands out to me in this passage, and I thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Karen S. from Ohio. Actually, nobody has to rush. I miscalculated, and we have plenty of time. Jana C., go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. Sometimes Jana, I get called Jana sometimes because we're all jumping in at the same time. But this is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Just my own experience, you know, the hundreds of experiences that have shown me that one bite means another debacle with all, well, my brain forgets that. My brain forgets how bad it sucked the last time I binged and how I cannot control it once I start because I have a mind that is constantly wanting to control and enjoy your food. And it's ego-driven because somehow I'm believing the lie that somehow someday I can be normal. And that's what I'm powerless over. I'm powerless over the mind convincing me that I'm powerless over my inability to believe the truth, which is why I must have a power greater than myself to keep me from picking up that first bite. And whatever willpower I have to do whatever it is I need to do, I've got to exercise that willpower along with, you know, God can and will when I seek him. And that has been absolutely proven true every single time. But what I honestly and humbly seek, I thought I did for years. The reason why I kept going back to the food, was because I hadn't fully conceded to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater without hope. And it's not just me giving lip service. Like I know in my heart now, like I cannot. And that is an absolute gift. I didn't create that. Someone said something about I can't create the level of surrender required. I can't. I had to be beaten by this disease. I had to see it, and I had to come to the absolute end of my rope. And when I begged God for help, I wasn't sure if it was even going to work that time. But, you know, by God's grace, I haven't found it necessary to eat those foods or you know, display those behaviors within the last 3 years. It's been an absolute miracle. Why it's like that for me now, all I know is I've reached the end of my rope, and I sought God, and he gave me this safe place to land. You know, that ego every single day wants to control and enjoy something. My mind wants to figure something out always. And so that's why I get to ask God for something every day and to keep me, yes, thank you, and to keep me abstinent today and willing to live by these spiritual principles and follow that food plan. It's that simple for me. So I have. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee, and sorry for that interruption. I'm glad you were able to keep your train of thought. Amy G.
Good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Team Tuesday and everyone. What an awesome meeting. Thank you so much. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Maryland. I can't tell you how many times I stood in front of the refrigerator, five bites into the binge, going, how the hell did I get here? You know, the common sense, the willpower, and even the experience, again, the humiliation and the torture. And what you all have taught me is that willpower, common sense, and even human experience is not sufficient to combat this disease. And the only question, as my sponsor has said to me, that I should be asking is not all these whys so I can take all this information and try to fix me. It's to say, why do I eat like this? And answer the one question, am I truly a compulsive eater with a twofold illness? Is that who and what I am? And once I answer that question, I resign from the debating society. Now, that took a while for me to get there, almost 5 years in OA, actually, still trying to figure it out, because that's what all the whys are about for me. but I finally understand. And I think what's so cunning and baffling about this disease is the fact that I can have willpower and sanity in all other, in other areas of my life. But when it comes to this idea of food and compulsive eating, I was completely powerless. I mean, it talks about it in step one in the AA 12 and 12. It's truly awful to admit that food in hand, or alcohol in hand, I've warped my mind into such an obsession for destructive eating that only an act of providence, to me that providence is God in these 12 steps, can remove it from me. I am without power. And I remember once talking to my sponsor going, why me? You know, why me? And she said to me, why not you? See, one of the lies that I believed as I worked through the steps, particularly in fourth step and understanding the behaviors and the beliefs I've had, that life is supposed to be fair and that somehow I'm supposed to avoid suffering and torture. Life doesn't work that way. Life isn't black and white, and it certainly isn't fair. It's just life. It just is what it is. But these are all things that I had to learn, and I could only get there by answering the only why question. Why do I eat like this? Because if I do, and I understand that I am not a normal eater, and I have a twofold illness, physical allergy and that mental obsession, then I am powerless, and it all has to start from there. It doesn't matter who, what, where, why, or when. If that's the answer to the one why question, I'm exactly where I need to be, because the answers are here, the recovery is here. And it's a beautiful program where we have a solution. That's the chapter we're in, folks. There is a solution. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Amy G. from Maryland. John B.
Okay, hey. John, a compulsive overeater, grateful to be on today. And I'm grateful for abstinence, grateful for to be working the steps, and even having some days and months. Just the reality of what this disease is. And my sponsor says this a lot. Your mind is always going to be giving you reasons to go back to the food, whether that's a day, 2 days, immediately a decision, and just remembering nothing has ever changed, you know. I just look at this reading on this page, and, you know, it's the slow downward spiral, you know, where food maybe has its pleasures and its joys and its relief and its comfort, but eventually it's indestructible prison. You know, that just doesn't let you out. Doesn't let you out. You know, and I remember the days of making all the drive-through stops on my way home from dropping off my wife at work, stopping at the gas station. And I'm not talking about multiple days. I'm talking about one drive home, sometimes making 6 stops because of the prison of this disease. But I don't want that for myself. And I'm grateful for this meeting because I want it for my fellow, and my hopes go out to the person who still suffers that's on this line today. Maybe today will be the day. And if you have the gift of recovery, protect it. Treat it like it's a serious piece of business. If you don't, keep yearning for it. Your higher power knows where you are. With that, I'll pass.
John B., would you like to let us know where you're from?
Florida. Jacksonville.
Thanks, John B. from Florida. Sue L.
Good morning, Sue L., recovered compulsive eater from Texas. And when the why comes up for me, that's very instructive because it tells me that I'm trying to find the answers in my own intellect, under my own power, under my own steam. And I saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, why ask why? It's kind of a good philosophy to adopt when it comes to my eating disorder. Why ask why? The solution will not be found anywhere within my intellectual pursuits. And thank
God, I know that today. And so when the why question comes up, I think my disease loves that because it's a smokescreen. It's a way for me to divert from the solution, which is my higher power, and start, you know, the little, all of the ramblings in my head of trying to figure it out. I cannot figure this disease out. I cannot. I will never figure this disease out. And so if my recovery is contingent upon understanding the origin of my disease, I can never hope for recovery. If I can let go of that, the need to know, and focus my attention on my higher power, that's where my solution is today. That's where the answer is today. This is not an intellectual program. It's a spiritual program. And so I'm grateful that I'm able to let go of the why and just accept that it is, that I am. But there is one, my higher power, who has the ability to say, it doesn't matter why, I've still got you. I've still got the solution for you. You just turn to me and it's all going to be okay. And I'm so grateful that I can do that today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Sue L. from Texas. Sandy K.
Thank you. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. When I read these last two paragraphs that were read today, I think of myself before I came into program, and for the first time after maybe during my eating career toward the end of it, I remember finally really looking at myself in the mirror and then becoming hysterical about how I looked 5 by 5. That's how I looked. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't understand why I couldn't stop eating. I didn't understand how could I continue to eat when I've been humiliated, when I'm suffering, when I look, you know, almost deformed with a big body and a small head. I never understood why. And what until I came to program and I read the doctor's opinion and Bill's story and everything else in the book, including the stories after 100 page 64, I finally got it, you know, finally got it. But is it no wonder, I think, that people around me may still not understand after decades of being in this program what it means to be a compulsive overeater and why I can't stop eating, why I can't take that first itty-bitty bite. It gives me some compassion, respect, and acceptance that if I couldn't understand why I ate like that, how could anybody else understand why I ate like that if they were not an addict? And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. from Florida. Kathy S.
Thank you, Rebecca. This is Kathy S., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And with these two paragraphs, I love how the first one starts. Just, it's by no means a comprehensive picture of the true alcoholic, and our behavior patterns vary. As we know, we hear shares on the lines about the variety of food plans and allergies that we all have, and yet the following paragraph so descriptive, and so many of us can relate. This is probably more descriptive of the alcoholic to me than the prior paragraphs or the compulsive overeater. Just the confusion of why do we do this, and all the hundreds of experiences that showed me that one bite led to a binge, and yet here I was doing it again and again. And despite the suffering, despite the humiliation, I kept doing it, and it made no sense. And I can just so relate to this paragraph. It, that seems like not much of a description, but to me, it's like the heart of it. And, you know, and it was my experience, like many others, you know, trying to ask why, but it was only when I was beaten down by the food and I just had to stop asking why and finally accept that this is just who I am. It's a resignation and a surrender. And the truth is, I don't need to know why. I just need to know God, the solution. What I have found is it's just rather than consider it like a curse today in recovery, I know that it's just a rare opportunity to lose everything else in my life, to let it go, and to find the only solution for all of mankind, which is God. Because the truth is, I'm not satisfied with portions, not of food, not of achievements, money, approval. These are just tastes. And I need a source that is unlimited, that is infinite and all powerful. And when I lock in, when I reconnect to that source, which for me today comes by doing 10 steps, which is a comprehension of all the steps, and in commuting and connecting with my fellows and prayer and being of service, I find the source within me, and peace is restored. And I don't even care why. I'm just so grateful that I have it. So with that, I just want to pass. But thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Kathy S. from Georgia. Mary M.
Good morning. Could you hear me?
We do.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Mary. I'm a compulsive overeater from Chicago. it's such great shares this morning. It's been a great meeting. This paragraph really takes me back to the doctor's opinion. Why is it that he takes that one drink? In the doctor's opinion, it tells me that they are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they again experience a sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks or bites. In my my experience, drinks which they see others taking with impunity, which means without harm. It starts there for me. Why do I take that first bite? When I'm not dealing with my emotions, when I'm self-will run riot, when I'm restless, irritable, and discontent, and I'm not following it up with action. Like Kathy had just said, you know, doing those 10 steps, you know, this is, I'm not brand new, but pretty new to Vision and just getting to learn how to reach out and do my 10 steps. Now, I've done 10 steps in another program, and I quietly asked myself, am I resentful, dishonest, selfish, fearful? And I go through that process, talk to God, and then talk to somebody else. But I'm learning to do it much more thoroughly today. I have a diseased mind, and so it starts with my mind. If I let it go into to an obsession, then I can, I'm real close to picking up then. And so, it's by taking actions that I get out of that restless, irritable, and discontented feeling. And so that brings me further away from the food. And, this last couple weeks, I'm wired just full of anxiety. That's how I'm wired. And I was in fear. And, I had heard another fellow say it one time, put down the boxing gloves and pick up the phone. And so that's what I had to do is pick up the phone and talk about it. And that's where I get my relief, pray and take action.
And that's how, thank you so much. And that's my experience. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Mary M. from Chicago. Guess what? We have time for two more shares. They might be 2.5 minutes each. Anybody want to take them on page 22?
Ron G.
Joe M. from Minnesota.
We've got you, Ron G. and Joe M. So, Ron G., go right ahead.
Ron G., compulsive overeater from Florida. I used to love to read articles that would tell me that my obesity was not my fault, that I was genetically predispositioned this way, and I had no responsibility in it, or at least that's how I interpreted it. And indeed, it's true. Genetically, I am set up to be this way. It's a very powerful genetic factor. But what I need is a power greater than myself to override that. And I get that a day at a time by doing the steps, not picking up the first compulsive bite, turning my will and my life over to the care of God. And not only do I not have to pick up that first compulsive bite, but I can live joyfully with that. Not initially, it was a struggle initially, but today I can live joyfully with that. And, you know, it's been said that, you know, why am I a compulsive overeater? And I've heard it said that some of us are born that way. The other of us just really worked hard at it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron G. from Florida. Joe M., you'll be taking us out from Minnesota. And you have a full 3 minutes. Joe M.
Okay, thank you. My name is Joe M. from Minnesota, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Why does he behave like this? Why do I behave like this? These why questions are really painful for me to ask. In so many other areas of life, why questions are really beautiful and wonderful, and they lead to incredible results. In this program, I find in my addiction, why questions actually cause me pain, because they don't lead to anything. They kind of go around in circular. And why? I mean, this passage talks about what has become of the common sense and willpower that he still sometimes displays with respect to other matters. Well, my addiction has nothing to do with common sense and has nothing to do with willpower. It operates on its own engine. It has its own fuel. It has its own way of working that is separate and independent from any other kind of experience that I have in life. And where my freedom comes in is when I move away from asking why and I start asking what. What do I have to do to recover from this? Having a gut-level understanding. What happens when I eat my trigger foods? What happens when I abstain but I have no solution? What happens when I engage step 11 and then step 12? What happens when I work the program? What? And then to do the what's. So those are the more fundamental questions for me, the powerful questions for me that I get to take an action on, the what questions. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe M. from Minnesota. Does anybody want to take a two-minute share?
Eileen P. from Minnesota.
By all means, Eileen P. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Eileen P., compulsive reader, recovering Minnesota. I just wanted to mention, you know, the why question is not useful for me either, and I remember reading in the paper, you know, I don't know, this is decades ago, they're like, hey, addicts' brains are different and we can see it on a screen. And I'm like, yay, but, you know, Bill and those guys figured this out almost 100 years ago. So that's great, like, hooray for science. But science has not solved this problem. I'm completely fine with whatever research people want to do, but I need a solution right now or I'm going to die. So my solution is God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Eileen P. from Minnesota. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in this meeting and for the opportunity to be of service. The share ID number for this meeting, Tuesday, August 16th, 2022, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 10,299. That's 10299. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Bonnie B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. The end of the page.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your share, Arf. Thank you for leading, Rebecca, and thank you for all the shares today. Beautiful meeting as always. Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge this road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you so much.